While we're in John chapter 3, we're going to start with John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 14. Jesus is still speaking to Nicodemus here. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So now for our outline, we're going to use an outline that God has already prepared for me in the scriptures. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Okay, Numbers chapter 21, we're going to read verses 4 through 9. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9 says, "And they journeyed," now we're talking about the Israelites here, "and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.'" Now, loatheth means either to despise or to reject this light bread. Continuing on in verse 6. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.'" Now we're going to use "take away" as repentance. They want the serpents taken away. They want it taken away. They want this bite of death to be taken away from them. The serpents here are going to be a reminder of sin. All right, so, "And Moses prayed for the people." Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.'" God's introducing the solution here. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Verse 9, Moses, in obedience to God's word, he says, okay. In verse 9, we see, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, "beheld" means to turn your attention to. Okay, now we see in verse 5, we're still here in this story. We're going to use the story for a minute. In verse 5, in this story, sin is introduced to the Israelites. When they spoke against God, sin was introduced. They spoke against God. And we know the wages of sin is death. Now, their means of death came by a fiery serpent. We're using as a reminder of sin. The fiery serpent that bit these people, they died from the bite. For the wages of sin is death. Verse 7, we see the people here acknowledging their sin. They're acknowledging their sin. They're admitting their sin to God. In verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.'" Take away these serpents. We're ready to repent. Take away. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, God introduces the solution here. Tells Moses, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten," everyone, no matter who it was, whoever got bitten by this fiery serpent, when they looked upon this brass serpent that Moses had made, they shall live. Okay, so Moses did what the Lord said in verse 9. We see the solution has been completed here. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Or when he turned his attention to the brass serpent, he lived. Okay, so we see here in verse 9. Verse 9, the serpent here is a symbol of sin judged. Now, brass speaks of divine judgment. What comes to mind here to me is in Exodus chapter 27, the altar where the people, Israelites, would make a sin offering to God. They killed the animal and they sacrificed the animal. It was a sin offering to the Lord. It was actually a burnt offering, but they sacrificed animals for their sin. That altar was made out of brass, speaking of divine judgment. Now, the brass serpent is a type of Christ here being judged. The brass serpent on the pole is a type of Christ, speaking of divine judgment. Like the altar was made out of brass, the serpent is made out of brass, divine judgment. Now, Christ, this is the type of Christ, the divine judgment, where Christ was made to be sin for us on the cross. With this in mind, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 12. Scripture says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we see the result of sin is death. We're all part of Adam's race, so sin passed upon all men. So we're all part of Adam's race. So we're all sinners. Just as those Israelites were all sinners, we are all sinners. But unfortunately, they added one more sin that causes death to their lifestyle. Just like many times people we see in the world may add more sins to their lifestyle that causes a quicker death. For the wages of sin is death, some more quicker than others. Now, this death, the wage of sin is death. Now, this death is not just a physical death, but it's also a spiritual death. I don't like to emphasize too much on the spiritual death, but we're going to briefly look upon it in Mark chapter 9. So let's move on to Mark chapter 9. We have to emphasize the spiritual death. So we know what we need to be saved from. We need to be saved from the death, the spiritual death that is upon all men. Mark chapter 9. Now in the other gospels that all Jesus also warns of this spiritual death. But for the moment, we're going to use Mark chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 43. Verse 43, Jesus here is warning of hell, this spiritual death. Jesus says in verse 43, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Now, just understand, Jesus is not telling you to literally cut off the hand. He's telling you whatever is literally causing you to stumble, to come to Christ and serve your Lord Jesus Christ, whatever is causing you to put your allegiance to Christ, he's telling you to do away with it. Whatever's causing you to stumble, come to, for your allegiance to Christ, turn away from it. Okay, back to the spiritual death here. It says, then having two hands to enter into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Now, I could just tell you, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But we have to emphasize the fire that shall never be quenched. We see it one time right here, speaking of external suffering, torment, your external suffering, the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 44, where the worm dieth not. Speaking of internal torment. Internal torment for all eternity. The worm dieth not. This internal torment will not die. It will continue forever and ever. The enter the internal state. This eternal state is forever. Internal torment right here. We're speaking of the worm that dieth not. And again, the fire is not quenched, speaking of external torment. So we see here, we can get an idea that there is internal and external torment for all eternity. Fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not. Now, just to emphasize this point, it says it again, and Jesus says it again in verse 46, where their worm dieth not. Internal torment for all eternity, because the worm dieth not, doesn't come to an end. And the fire is not quenched, speaking of external torment once again. It doesn't end. It's not quenched. To quench is to put out, to put down, to put out. It's not quenched. Now, one more time, look at Jesus. Jesus is mentioning this one more time in this passage, verse 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This is an eternal state that I have to bring out and warn everybody about this eternal state. Once you enter that eternal state, there is no way out. This happens forever. Now, this is eternal state. We understand this. So while we have to be willing to repent from our sin and turn to Christ, the one who died for our sins, as written on this scripture here, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. But if we focus a minute here on Christ died for our sins, Let's now open up to 1 Peter. Let's open up to 1 Peter. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, Ephesians says we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's just the state we are born in. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we see he died for our sins on the tree. Now, we understand the tree means the cross, the tree representing the cross. So the cross was made out of wood. It was a wooden cross that Jesus died on for our sins. Now, Psalm 22 says they pierced his hands and his feet. So that means Christ died for our sins on the cross where he was nailed to. He was nailed to this wooden cross. We've all seen a wooden cross, I assume. may not see, have seen a wooden cross, but we've all seen a cross. So he died for our sins on a wooden cross. So let me just kind of put a picture here of what we do know about this crucifixion, which was a form of Roman execution. The Jewish people, they didn't use crucifixion as a form of death. When they thought somebody was worthy of death, they stoned them to death by the law. And the crucifixion was written about in Psalm 22 many years before crucifixion was even invented. Fulfilled prophecy. So let's paint the picture here. As we remember, Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We have a wooden cross laying down flat here. We have a horizontal extension and a vertical extension. Now the wooden cross on the right horizontal extension, the right hand was nailed to the right hand onto the right extension, and the left hand was nailed to the left extension. So his hands are spread out, nailed to the cross, laying down flat. His feet were nailed to the vertical extension, a low point. Now what they did was they had the person being crucified on the cross, laying down flat. Then they lifted up the cross, and they stabilized it, and left the person to die on the cross. It's kind of like an event. People gathered around, they watched. You can count the different groups of people that watched and mocked Christ as he died on the cross for our sins. Now, this was all part of God's plan. He offered up his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that cross. Now, this is where I have to bring out, it was not what man did to Christ. Although it was a very horrible, very, very horrible form of death, they nailed to the cross, left on the cross, standing straight up in front of all the people to die there. I hear most of them suffocated, where you cannot breathe anymore. You cannot pick yourself up, as all his bones were staring at him. They all hung down. Gravity took over your body. Your body sags down, and you're left to die on the cross, mainly by suffocation. But we know the Lord laid down his life for the sheep, for us. The Lord laid down his life, willingly gave up his life for us. Now, like I said, it was a very horrible form of execution, death, but what man did to Christ did not provide salvation for us. It was very horrible. Yes, it was. It was when God the Father laid the sins of the world on his Son. We read in Isaiah 53, his soul was poured out into death. So it all happened within the soul. His soul was tormented. By his stripes we are healed. By his torment we are healed. You can think of this. He willingly suffered for every sin we have ever committed or ever will commit. And not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. Horrible thing. A perfect and holy God, Jesus Christ, the God, the Son, who became a man to die on this cross. When God the Father laid the sins of the world on his Son, he became tormented by all of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We can see the similarities here, where the brass speaking of divine judgment, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up and suffered for our sins. He was offered to God without spot for our sins. The perfect and holy man died for our sins. So I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. God has provided salvation for us. Just like in the story in Numbers where God told Moses to make a serpent, lift it up on a pole, and whoever shall look upon the serpent, whoever directs their attention to this serpent, shall live. The same way, whoever shall turn to Christ shall be saved from this eternal suffering, the internal and external suffering that we read about in Mark chapter 9. We can all be saved from this internal, external suffering which burns forever. It says the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. So in the same way as the story in Numbers, they acknowledge their sin before God. They acknowledge, we have sinned against you. As we read in Romans chapter 5, we are all sinners. We are all sinners condemned to this death. We're all sinners because we're all part of Adam's race. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Does not necessarily mean she was sinning when she conceived me. It means since we're all part of the Adam's bloodline, we're all part of that sinful blood that has passed upon all men. Therefore, we are all sinners condemned to death. And not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. So back to the outline in Numbers. They acknowledged their sin before God. They admitted their sin. They wanted the serpents to be taken away. We're using for repentance. Take away the serpents from us. Take away, please, we're dying. Please take these serpents away. If you want to be saved, you need to be willing to turn away from sin, which involves repentance. My example of repentance is the 180-degree turn. Say you're walking this way in sin, you're living in sin, you're chasing sin, or even you're just committing sin habitually. You have to be willing to turn away from this habitual sin. Whatever sin is causing you to be led, you need to turn away from that. Be willing to turn away from that. Go 180-degree turn to Christ, to the one who died on the cross for our sins. Are you willing to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Lord means master. Are you willing to serve Christ as your master and turn away from sin to Christ? It is essential for salvation. So we see the solution. We see the solution. Christ is the solution. Just like the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, that was their solution. Christ is our solution. Christ is our way of salvation. Now, they had to believe, they had to acknowledge their sin, they had to believe the solution that God has provided for them. And third of all, they had to act upon that solution. Just believing. It's like, so the people there, the people and the Israelites that got bitten by these fiery serpents, so, okay, I got bitten by a serpent. I'm going to die. I can clearly see that everybody's dying from this serpent bite. We can clearly see that people are going to hell because God says so in the scriptures. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 says that. So you had to believe the solution. Okay, I believe that I am spiritually doomed to hell. I believe this. I'm going to physically die. I'm going to spiritually die. I believe this. So now I believe God's solution. I believe God has sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every one of us can be saved. The whole world can be saved. You have to believe on the solution. Christ says, those who believe not are condemned already. You don't believe the solution, you're condemned already. Okay, so you do believe the solution, you need to act upon it. Put it this way, say you have an illness and you go to the doctors and he or she gives you a prescription. Okay, go to the pharmacy, get this medication and take it in. It will make you better. You'll be healed from me. You'll be healed from this illness. You believe, okay, I believe this will cure me. I believe this will fix my illness, okay? But if you don't take that paper up there and go get the prescription, it's going to do you no good. Just having a piece of paper, believing it, is going to do you no good. Okay, I have a prescription. If I go get the medication, it will save me. Okay, but if I don't go get it, it's going to do you no good. You might as well just light that piece of paper on fire and let it burn, because it's going to do you no good. You need to act upon the belief. So just like they had to act in faith and look at this serpent, beheld the serpent, they had to turn their attention to the serpent. The same way, we must turn our attention to Christ, who died for our sins on the cross. Now, by faith, they had to act upon it. By faith, we need to act upon it. We need to turn to Christ. Scripture says, Isaiah chapter 55. Let's look at that right now so I quote it right. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's God telling you, call him while he is near. The scripture says here, Christ said this in Matthew chapter 18. Christ himself said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Christ is here in presence. His presence is here right now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right where you are, you can sit right there and God knows your heart. Come to Christ right now, confessing that you are a sinner. You need to be saved from this eternal damnation. You can do it right where you are. In your own words, I'm not going to give you the words to say. In your own words, come to Christ right where you are, confessing that you are a sinner. You need to be saved from this eternal judgment. Christ also said in John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me shall in no wise be cast out. That means no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what has happened in the past, if you right now will come to Christ as a sinner, seeking that salvation that he offers you, you will be saved. Scriptures here says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your master to be saved from this eternal judgment? Will you submit your life to Christ? Will you submit yourself to Christ? God only wants people in heaven who will follow Christ as their Lord. Lord meaning master. Okay, I will receive Christ as my master, my Lord and Savior. By faith, claim that free gift of salvation. Kindly, I urge anybody here, if you're not saved, to just come to Christ right now, right where you sit. In your own words, come to Christ. Tell him you're a sinner. You need to be saved. You are willing to receive him as your Lord, your master. Will you trust Christ with your life and your soul? Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking to Christ for salvation? Have you looked to Christ for salvation? If not, today is the day for salvation. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Now, what does it mean later on after when I get around to it? No, right where you are, just pray to you silently, pray to God. Come to Christ for salvation. Because we see today is a day of salvation. Right before that verse, it says now is the accepted time, not later. Remember in the story where they were bitten by the serpent, they died. It did not give a timeline on how long you have before death. Don't be putting it off like, oh, I got bit by the serpent. Oh, I'm gonna go to the brass serpent and live. Well, I got this to do. Well, I'll be right over there. You don't know how long you have before you're gonna die. You need to do it now. Remember that eternal torment that lasts for all eternity? You will remember another day of grace where God was extending his hand out for your salvation. Come to my son, he's saying. Come to my son for salvation. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And for all eternity, you could be remembering, oh, it was another day I refused to come to Christ. I didn't do it. Well, I had other things in my mind. It was another day that's going to torment you that you had on this earth. Remembering in Luke chapter 16, the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, he was in torment. The one thing that stands out in my mind in that story, Luke chapter 16, he remembered his life on this earth. He remembered. He was in torment remembering his life on this earth. So just in the same way that this man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment and remembered his life on this earth, if anybody here goes to hell, that lost eternity, Matthew, Jesus describes it as the cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another description of the internal and external torment. Outer darkness, suffering. So I got to plead before I close with you one more time. Please come to Christ right now. Today is a day of grace. Come to Christ right where you are. Just come to Christ. Tell him, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God who died for my sins on the cross. Lord, I believe it. I receive you by faith. I receive you as my Lord and Savior right now. I claim this salvation by faith. Please come to Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Father, we thank you for being so merciful and gracious to us, giving us a way out of this condemnation. Father, thank you. Father, if there's anybody here that has not saved, may you please speak to them now. Soften their hearts. Invite them to Christ for salvation. Father, we pray for anyone that is not saved. May you save their souls, Father. Bring them to Christ right now, please. Father, for all of us that are saved, we thank you for this gracious gift, thy Son, thy wonderful Savior. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for a blessing upon the rest of this day. We pray for a blessing upon the food that has been being prepared for us. May you bless the food to our bodies, the physical food. Father, may you bless the spiritual food to our bodies. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.